Good morning. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I absolutely love that song, that we need to be filled each day. Oh, how I need it. That we would just pray to God the Father that He would continue to deliver to us the power of His Holy Spirit, that we'd be encouraged each and every day. And as we do that, let's also remember those that are hurting. There are those that have suffered the loss of loved one. We know that the Barb Newman family is hurting. Jackie is hurting. Her son Jeb. Her children. But also Pastor Jay Wagner has lost a sister, and he will be most likely heading to Pennsylvania. So also lift up the Wagner family in prayer. And I'm sure there's many others that we could remember on this day. So just remember that as we're going through our daily prayers, that there are many that are going through tough situations. And then we are here to celebrate Jim's 91st birthday today, and unfortunately my wife and I have to run to Bruce Crossing, so no disrespect towards Jim, but happy birthday. May God bless you. With that being said, our sermon text for this Sunday that we recognize the baptism of our Lord, also an Epiphany Sunday, that's why you have all white candles. We're going to read actually from, not dealing so much with the baptism of Jesus, we'll go over that more next week, but actually, we're going to go from Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Every new year, we should start new, right? And we're going to read verses 1 through 5. You can remain seated. Reading from Genesis 1, continuing in Jesus' name. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And the darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. This is deep. This is beyond our understanding how you can speak and things happen. But we pray that, Father, you would reveal to us your truth, that you would sanctify us in the truth, because we know, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, we're not going to go directly. We will reference to the baptism of Christ. There's no doubt about it. But we're not going to go directly into the baptism of Christ, mainly because I feel God laid this on my heart to preach this message today. But when you're dealing with what God says, the question we have to really resound within our hearts, within our minds, is, do we believe Him? And there is a great importance to that, because we have a tendency as human beings to come up with our own rationale, come up with our own understandings, and promote those oftentimes as though it is God's word. And it's kind of interesting, because if everything I say definitely is of God, in other words, I'm promoting my own agenda, my own ideas, and I'm saying it's from God, not taking from the Scripture, not taking from anywhere else, then who really is playing God? Me. And I think it's amazing when we look through life how many times, I don't even have to look out into the world, how many times God sounds just like me. Because I come up with this thought, I come up with this idea, and I decide that this is what God must think. So either we are God or we are not God. I happen to realize through humbleness and through breaking and through trial and difficulty and failure that I am not perfect. I don't know if you could understand what I'm saying. I don't know if you can relate to what I'm saying. That we have a tendency, especially if we're honest with ourselves, to see that we are not God. Not everything happens according to my will. Not everything happens the way I think it should. Not everybody thinks the way I should. But really, beyond that, because we are all individuals, the planets don't do what I want it to do. The planets, in reality, are in operation as God has orchestrated them, no matter what I think. How many of you know Galileo? He was an interesting individual. Very brilliant. And back in his day, it was very much understood by the church that in reality the earth was the center of the universe. A very old argument, we understand. And the Pope himself was very strong and adamant in this, where Galileo turned around and he proved that actually the sun is the center of what we know now as our universe, and that everything rotates around the sun. Well, that was unheard of. And Galileo brought that to the attention of even the church, and the church would not accept. Though this church did actually have a relationship with him, they would not accept because they could not go beyond what they believed to be true. This is going to sound ridiculous. This is back late 1500s, 1600s. And they basically made Galileo recant on what he had proven. They didn't want that to be known as the truth. Really, when the church, the Roman Catholic Church, actually came to acceptance of Galileo's teaching in a public forum was 1984. We'd been to the moon already. Pope John Paul II is actually the one that forgave everything. Human beings have a tendency to believe whatever they think, whatever they dictate, is the mouth of God. But yet, we have to ask ourselves, is it God's word or our word? And why is that important? Why is it so important to believe God's word being true? Why is it so important that we believe what God speaks is the truth, written and found in His Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, encouraging for us? Genesis opens up in this very straightforward way. In the beginning. What is the beginning? God, in reality, speaks of Himself as the Alpha and the Omega in the Revelation. The beginning and the end. All things, in fact, consist in and through Him in the beginning. You know, it's amazing. When God wanted. That's as much as I can come up with. I can't go beyond that for you. Too many times we see even people trying to decide when the beginning was. And then we have all this stuff where we can face actually what we call the sciences of this world telling us when the beginning actually was. How do they really know? We can do all this kind of stuff with carbon dating. One of my whole things of with that is, why couldn't God create an aged earth? I know it's hard for us, especially being in the modern day that we're in. But why couldn't He? If He can create matter out of nothing, why couldn't He? So when God decided, He created in reality the heavens and the earth. And the earth itself was without form. It was void. It was darkness. It was all over the face of the deep, even speaking in this fashion of that through its elements, but also throughout all of its water, because the lands weren't divided yet. But it says the Spirit of God was hovering above the face of the waters. That God was present. He creates out of nothing, and He does not abandon, but rather He is present, found there with it. And so it's very interesting because this really made me think a while ago. I was preaching just a couple Sundays ago, and I was talking about one of my pastor brothers, Clay Hillman, and he had a wedding, and he spoke from this wedding from Genesis, and he spoke about how God spoke a word and created. And how powerful words are. And I related it back, as Clay did in his message for this wedding couple, that we can either build or destroy with words. God chooses in reality to build us up. He created us. He gave us life. And it says that really, even when it was in its beginning stages, when there was nothing to be seen, most people would overlook it and say, well, that looks like a scary mess. He was there present with it. I know I'm reaching for straws here, and I'm not claiming to have some great insight. But the fact of it is that he cared enough to invest, to reside with even what we see here, that he was found present. If we were to go from a spiritual aspect, and we were to turn around and look at our own lives, and we look at the chaos of our lives, and maybe they're not very fruitful at times. I'm not saying anything negative, but we all have our moments, that's for sure. Do we understand God is still present? Even when it doesn't seem there's a direction, even when it seems there is nothing else to turn to, God is present with us. It says it was without form, it was void, it was darkness, and over the face of the deep in reality. His spirit was hovering over the waters. But now God says something very interesting. When we talked about in the beginning, it says God created it. How did he do that? I cannot explain that to you. He's God. Remember this beginning of this message? I am not. But then he spoke. And he turns and he speaks this fashion. He says, let there be light. And there was light. This morning in Bible study, we were studying Revelation. We were talking about the different churches and the struggles that they're going through, and today we're on Philadelphia. But the fact of it is, as I was bringing out something that's very interesting, if you read the Gospel of Mark, and we've done a study here in Zion on the Gospel of Mark, it really is an emphatic book. It's immediate. It's a very powerful book on showing the immediacy of the kingdom of God. When Jesus speaks something, it takes place. When there's an issue, it happens. Jesus intervenes. It shows the powerfulness of the kingdom of God upon our earth. That, and when we're going through a circumstance, we're going through dire straits, whatever it may be, he answers. Jesus is a representation and is God, no doubt. But we have it firsthand here when God turns around and speaks and says, let there be light. In other words, it is his will, it is his desire that this light would come. Doesn't matter what scientists say. Doesn't matter in reality what our history would tell us. There was light. We put so much trust in the words of men. We do. People are led in great numbers by listening to the words of men. But do we trust God's word? He was the one that was there from the beginning. Why do you think about how we've trusted men's words over history? I was trying to come up with the fact of, why are we so led astray, and what are we led astray with? One of the biggest things that we're led astray with, especially in the church, is with end times theories, the apocalypse. Aren't we? Because we're always curious. We're always wondering when it's going to happen. And so you turn around and you look at it, and it's just interesting. So I started doing some research on this whole thing, and maybe to some of you younger guys, I might be old as dirt, but to some of you that are 91, I'm still a babe. I was born in 1970. Do you realize since 1970, on record, there are people stating the world would end 70 times? Since 1970. We're not even going back into the real history. They've predicted the end of the earth 70 times. You think I'm wrong? Look it up. There's a list right on Wikipedia. You can see who has publicly announced that the end of the world would come. It's interesting because we still have a lot of traction with some of these groups that have done that. The Mormons have done it twice. The Jehovah's Witnesses have done it twice. Literally as close as 1984, 1973, 1949. I'm not picking on a group. In reality, I'm just saying it's amazing how you try to do it and it doesn't work. Do you know that they actually had written, not the Witnesses, another group had written a book, and I remember studying this in seminary, 88 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come Back in 1988. I have the book in my shelf somewhere. It didn't happen. I don't know if you noticed or not. It didn't happen. We listen to the words of men. We get carried away. We start buying generators and taking the Kool-Aid, whatever else it may be. It didn't happen in 1988. I don't know if you noticed or not. The author did. So guess what he did? He wrote another book. 89 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come in 89. Probably because he didn't come in 88. Made him some more money. 70 times. As I opened with, Galileo speaks. And no one wanted to listen because it went against what the church had thought. The leadership had thought. We have them in our modern day. I don't know if you noticed or not, but we have some issues going on with Lake Superior. In 2013, there were a lot of statements that were made that the lake has dropped so much, it will never come back. It cannot come back. And now we have water coming all the way up to the strawberry shack and we don't know what to do with it. Man's word is not the final authority. God spoke. And in reality, He spoke, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. And here we are. God saw the light, and He saw the light was good. That is not by accident. All things are exposed in and through the light. The light is the hope and reality of life. Life is greatly increased by light. God separated the light from the darkness, and He called the light day. In the darkness, He called night. Isn't that interesting? Even unbelievers still use these terms. Day and night. They still proclaim what God has set in motion. Very, very interesting when we think we are the authority of terms and definitions. He says, and there was an evening, and there was a morning. And that, my friends, was the first day. The first day never took place until God the Father spoke. Even when He created this earth, He had given that light so that we could have our day. I think God is so amazing. Because we can feel that in the aspect of light being that nurturing. Even with our children, when we put them to bed at night, oftentimes we'll put a nightlight in there because that gives them the hope that the scary monsters will stay away. The earth doesn't seem so alluring when we turn around and we look at it in the darkness where there is nothing but water and darkness. But yet God did not leave it. He was present. Sometimes when our lives look so bad, we're going through the darkness. We need to remember the hope of that light and that in reality, He is present with us. So then we come to, well, I guess we have to acknowledge at least to a degree what God says does happen. But why is that important? Well, when we get towards what we're supposed to be celebrating today, the baptism of our Lord, Scripture says very plainly, Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, after the baptism of Jesus, God says, do you know we don't hear from Him very often? In the New Testament, we don't hear from God but twice. I could be mistaken, but I think I'm pretty accurate on that. And what does he tell us? He has something extremely important to tell us. Have you ever said that? I wish God would just tell me. He did. This is my son. Speaking of Jesus, he says, this is my son who I love. He says, and I am well pleased with him. Do you know, actually, the breakdown of this more in a Greek context is, I am satisfied. This is my son who I love, and I find satisfaction in him. That screams to my heart and echoes to my heart of the redemption of Christ. That now this work that Christ has been set forth to take upon himself on this earth is the satisfaction. That God is content and found in contentment with Christ Jesus. That now in reality, I am at peace with him. It's important to believe what God speaks, because he doesn't just talk rightfully. He doesn't ramble on like Paul. He doesn't ramble on like crazy Peter, who doesn't know what else to say. He doesn't ramble on like me, who's nuts and just to fill up words just to make sure I make it to 28 minutes. What God speaks is life. He says, this is my son. There is no mistake there. He says, and I love him. I love him immensely. And there is no mistake there. And he says, and I am satisfied through him. How are we trying to please God? Is it by other means? Is it by other words? Is it by other actions? Do we actually believe what God says to us personally? He speaks again in Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. This is at the Transfiguration. Remember, this is one of those places where Peter doesn't know what to say, so he gets all worked up. He's like, ooh, this is great that we're here. We should really make some tabernacles, make little places of worship here, because it's such a holy place. And a cloud comes upon them. And God speaks again. He says, this is my son. Same words. Whom I love, same words. With him, I am well pleased, extremely satisfied. Same words. But there's a little different tail ending here. Listen to him. Are we busy listening to the rhetoric of the world? Are we busy listening to everybody else? Or do we actually hear the words of Jesus Christ? Are we standing up for our traditions, our understandings, the way we see things to be? That in reality, no, the sun goes around us because we're so important. Or do we hear the words of God who says, this is my son. I love him extremely. I am found in satisfaction with him and him alone. Listen to him. What does he say? Gospel of John, one of the most famous verses in the world, no doubt about it. And it's probably one of the most quoted verses in the world. And do we hear it? Not just with our audible ears, do we hear it and take recognition in it? Do we hear it and obtain it for ourselves? Do we hear it and obtain it for others with the hope of understanding? For God so loved the world, what? He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have eternal life. Is it important to believe the word of God? It is salvation. It is salvation to know, to believe, to receive his word. For God, he says, remember, twice, I love my son, I love my son, he's great, I find satisfaction in him. And Jesus turns around and says, you know what? God loves you. For God so loved the world, that's you, that's me. He gave the one whom he does love, Jesus, that whoever could have this faith, that he died for you, your sin debt is paid, that you would have eternal life. So yes, the word of God is important. I would dare say it is salvation. Scripture says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of what? What John Paul II says? What Pastor Jesse Aho says at his church up in Hancock, Michigan? Is this really my church? I'm but a speck. This is God's. Doesn't say, you know, in reality, hearing of the word of Jay Widener up in Lorium. Faith cometh by hearing, and the hearing of the word of God. God's word is extremely important. Our traditions, our ideas, and our own understandings do not change what God has spoken. And you know what? Amen. That is a blessing. Praise be to God that it's not my foolish influence that would actually change His path of salvation. It is not my standard that is going to change the path of salvation for a single soul. Because God loved us. He loved us so much, He gave us His only Son, that we could believe in Him and we would have eternal life. That's where it's at. It's not about popes. It's not about Galileo. It's not about Luther. It's not about me. It is about God speaking. He spoke this into creation, whether I understand it or not. And in reality, He allowed my creation. For what purpose? To bring Him honor and glory. May we not spend our time refuting the Word of God, but may we spend our time understanding and knowing it all the more in this new year. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for this opportunity to gather around Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You have taken the initiative, the time, and the investment to create not only a place for us to dwell, but for us personally. We are all created in Your image. May we remember that. May we see the value of what You have done and continue to do. And Father, may we live that value, not just for ourselves, but for those around us. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.